Ephesians chapter 5, please. Last week we looked at the focus this passage has on the home, on the biblical family. Tonight we look at the wonderful teachings it has about our Savior and His love for His church. So we'll start there in verse 23 of Ephesians 5. The Bible says, "For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and He is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave Himself for it, that He might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that He might present it to Himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh and of his bones. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church." So tonight, Christ loved the church. Let's pray. Lord, give us wisdom, give us your presence, and just work in our hearts through your powerful word. We are blessed to be here to open it together. And we give you this service, Lord. We love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And so we find in this passage that Jesus loves his church. And a lot of the ways in which he loves the church is revealed in this passage. But we're told that he's the head of the church. And we must never forget that. Jesus is the head of the church. He is the great shepherd, mentioned in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 4. And he is the head of it. He's the leader of it. And notice in verse 23, he is the Savior of it. So he not only is the one who creates it through his own sacrifice, through his own salvation, but then he is the leader of the church. He's the head. The Bible tells us in Colossians 1:18, he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. Jesus Christ died on the cross to create the church. Before Jesus, there wasn't a church. And there is a church because of Jesus and the fact that he died on the cross for our sins and became the Savior of, as it says there in verse 23, the body. You'll notice in this passage, God interchanging church and body back and forth. The reason is because it's the same thing. The word church means a called out assembly. The word body, you already know what that means. So if you notice, verse 23, the word church. Verse 24, the word church. Verse 25, the word church. Verse 27, the word church. Verse 29, church. And verse 32, church. But also, notice in verse 23, the word body. And then in verse 30, the word body. So God interchanges those words. And praise God, we become part of it through salvation, which we'll talk about in a moment. But we see, first of all, in His love for the church, it's revealed because He gave Himself for it. Notice in verse 25, "Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave Himself for it." You've heard me say this before, that love is action. There is no greater display of love than what Jesus did on Calvary. Turn over to 1 John chapter 4, if you would, in verse 9, where the Bible tells us that God's love was manifested through Calvary. Well, yeah, 1 John 4, 9. The Bible says, "In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent His only begotten Son into the world that we might live through Him." So there's that action verb, sent. Notice 1 John 3:16. "Hereby perceive we the love of God, because He laid down His life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren." So Jesus Christ is the Savior of the church because He loved the church. and gave himself for it. He demonstrated true sacrificial love, giving up himself for us. Now that word church in this context, and we've talked about this before, but especially in Ephesians, the word church and the word body primarily refers to the one church, the one body made up of all saved people. There are those Baptists out there who think if you see the word church or body, it can only mean local. But I don't know how they get around this chapter. If they see the word church, they only see local. But how can they believe that? That Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. He gave himself for every person who trusts him. And many of them are not part of a local church. But that doesn't mean they're not saved. It doesn't mean they're not loved by Jesus. They're part of the body, the church, this dispensational group that was formed beginning on Pentecost and finishing at the rapture. Notice, if you would, 1 Corinthians 10:32, where the Bible tells us there's basically three dispensational groups in the Bible, and the church is one of them, the church of God, that is, the one church. Notice, 1 Corinthians 10:32, give not offense, neither to the Jews nor to the Gentiles, nor to the church of God. That's a great verse, not only because it tells us there's three dispensational groups, but it helps us when we go to read a passage, we need to make sure whose mail it is. Is it the Jews? Is it the Gentiles? Or is it the church's mail? Because a lot of people get themselves into trouble by reading other people's mail and thinking it applies to them. That doesn't mean that not all the Bible is all, it's all for us, and it is, but it doesn't all apply to us because we're not Jews. But as you can see here, Jews, who's that referring to? All Jews. Gentiles. All Gentiles. Church of God? Can't be only local. All of the Church of God. Everybody who's part of it. Every believer is part of the Church of God. And, you know, when Paul was rebuked by Jesus right before he got saved, remember what Jesus said? He said, "Why persecutest thou me?" Me. But then later on, when Paul was relaying what he was doing, he says in 1 Corinthians 15:9, "I persecuted the church of God." So which is it? It's the same thing. He persecuted Jesus. He persecuted Jesus' church that he created because he loved and died for this church. And this church will one day be a unit in heaven and sit down with Jesus Christ for the marriage supper of the Lamb. Until then, we see that Christ loved it. So we saw there in verse 22 that he's the head and the Savior of the church. We see in verse 25 that he loves the church and gave himself for it. Notice we see in verse 27 that he one day will present the church to himself. It says that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. Now, how can you get local only out of that verse? Has anybody ever been to a church that was holy and without blemish and without spot or wrinkle? I don't think so. It's impossible, isn't it? Every church, local church, has some problems and is definitely not holy and without blemish. But we individually are holy and without blemish in Jesus Christ. And as a whole, the body is holy and without blemish. And the Lord, as we see here, will present it to himself because he's God. So he's the one that died for the church and created it, but he's also the one to whom the church will be presented as a body at the final judgment of the seat of Christ, because we are in Jesus Christ. We're already accepted. Remember we saw that in chapter 1, verse 6? It said we're accepted in the Beloved. It's already done. We're accepted because we're in Jesus. Look, if you would, at Jude, verse 24, where the Bible tells us that it is Jesus who keeps the church pure. That is, each individual member of the church. Notice Jude 24. Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. We will be presented faultless. How's that possible? Because when we're born again, we receive the righteousness of Jesus Christ. We're justified. And so one day when we stand before the Lord, we will be standing before the Lord faultless. The church, as we saw there in verse 27, will be holy and without blemish. Because it's made up of people that are faultless. Amazing. That we are faultless, but we are in Jesus. So, Jesus is the head of the church, the Savior of the church. He loved the church. He gave Himself for the church. He will present it to Himself. And notice on down, verse 29, no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. That's quite beautiful. Remember what Jesus said to the woman at the well. He said, I can give you living water, and you'll never thirst. And Jesus nourishes us and cherishes us. Because as I mentioned earlier, look at 1 Peter 5:4, where the Bible tells us that He is the great shepherd. What does a shepherd do? He watches out for his sheep. He protects them. He makes sure they get enough food. He watches out for the wolves. He takes care of them. That's what Jesus does for the church. He nourishes it and He cherishes it. Notice 1 Peter 5:4, when the chief shepherd shall appear, ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. Jesus is that chief shepherd. And He tells us, like in John chapter 10, that He loves His sheep, that He gives His life for His sheep, and that He cares for His sheep. That's Jesus. He nourishes and cherishes. He feeds His sheep, protects them, puts a hedge about them, watches over them, and is that great chief shepherd, nourishing and cherishing the church. And then the Bible tells us that, verse 30, that we, so who's the we? Well, the we is Christians. Paul was writing to Christians at Ephesus, and he said, we. Now, was Paul ever a member of the church at Ephesus? Maybe when he planted it, but he didn't stay there. But years later, he wrote back to Ephesus and said, we are members of His body, of His flesh, and of His bones. So we, believers in Jesus Christ, when we're born again, we become members of this church that Jesus loves and died for and is the head of and feeds and takes care of and nourishes. And that, of course, happens at salvation. Look at 1 Corinthians 12:13. Very great verse on this topic, on what happens when we're saved. And the Bible says we're members of His body. How do we become members of the body? 1 Corinthians 12:13 tells us, for by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body. Whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been made all and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. It's the Spirit of God, capital S, that baptizes us into the one body. The Bible says in Galatians 3:27, as many of you have been baptized into Christ, have been baptized unto His death. Jesus even prophesied of this baptism. He said, you shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. Remember, go tarry at Pentecost until it happens. And wait. He told them, the Holy Spirit is with you and shall be in you. Because up to that point, He was not permanently indwelling believers. It wasn't until after He went back to heaven and sent down the Holy Ghost, who began to then indwell and seal Christians, that we became part of the body, the church, at salvation. Look at Romans 12:5, which tells us that we are one body in Christ. Notice Romans 12:5. So we, being many, are one body in Christ, and everyone members one of another. Remember that verse we looked at in Ephesians 4, if you would turn back there. It told us how many bodies there are. true bodies. How many? Ephesians 4:4. One. Then what's a local church? Is it a body? Yes, but it's just a piece of the one. There's only one body. We become part of it at salvation. And every local church and every believer that's not part of a local church is part of that body. They become part of that body at salvation because Jesus loved the church and gave himself for it. He gave himself for every man, woman, boy, and girl who will trust him and what he did on Calvary. Now, this is a mystery. As God explains, verse 32, this is a great mystery. How can we all be part of one body? Some people are dead already and in heaven. How can we be part of the one body? Because God's a miracle-working God, and with God nothing's impossible. But it's still a little bit difficult for our finite brains to put it all together. But God still makes it very clear that for by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body. And that one body, as we see in this passage, that word's interchangeable with the one church that Jesus is the head of, that Jesus is the Savior of, that Jesus loves and gave himself for, that Jesus will present to himself one day, that Jesus nourishes and cherishes. He loved the church and gave himself for it. Praise God he did. Because none of us would be here tonight if he hadn't. He loved the church and gave himself for it. And when he hung on that cross and said, "It is finished," he had us in mind. People that will repent and believe on him. Praise God for that. And the day that we got saved, we became members of his body, his church. And one day we'll all sit down as one body with Jesus Christ. I think that's talked about in Hebrews 12. We'll close there, where the Bible talks about the general assembly and church of the firstborn. We will all have this marriage supper with Jesus one day. Yeah, Hebrews 12:22. The Bible says, "But ye are coming to Mount Zion and unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to an innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly and church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven, and to God the judge of all, and to the spirits of just men made perfect." Written in heaven. Sounds like the book of life to me. Whosoever is not found written in the book of life was cast in the lake of fire. So our names are written in heaven already. The day we got saved, our names got written down. And one day we will have this great supper with the Lord Jesus Christ. I said we'd close at Hebrews 12. I was going to show you the supper and I didn't write down the reference. It's in one of the last three chapters of Revelation, so you can look it up this week, where the Bible talks about the bride of Jesus Christ sitting down and having supper with the bridegroom, Jesus. And that's where we get that song, "Brethren, we have met to worship." The last verse says, "We will sit down and he will serve us." The Bible actually says that somewhere in the last three chapters of Revelation. But thank God Jesus loved the church. We are so blessed to be part of it through him.